Now, on this Invest Talk podcast, Steve Peasley listens to your questions.
I'm hoping you can explain the hit on metals of mining.
Quick question on ticker symbol AG, First Majestic.
My wife has a rollover 401k from a previous employer. I was curious if this is eligible to be used to do a backdoor Roth.
And provides unbiased answers.
Well, that's pretty easy. Open up a Roth account, start moving the assets over there. Just know that every asset that you move over to the Roth is added to your income.
Invest Talk, across America and around the world. Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Friday, January 21st already, 2022. Another bad day in the market. This whole month has not been very pleasant. Has not. But it's not unexpected. You should not be surprised, because we've talked about it. When the Fed changes direction, markets don't like that. Fed starts raising rates. It hasn't even started raising rates. It's just threatening. It's saying they are going to raise rates, and they just reduce liquidity by slowing down their bond buying. They're going to stop it sometime, and the market is anticipating all that change, and that's why it's reacting now. So it goes up and down. It's always unpredictable, everybody. Always unpredictable. Now, you can have generalities that you could do. I can tell you generally we're overdue for a correction. We're in the middle of one. Okay. How deep is this correction? I don't think it's a bear market. I got some stats on that, so I'll be able to share with you later on the show. So there's a lot of dynamics going on here. A lot of things happening. Earnings are coming in. They're not bad. Bank earnings were a little disappointing, but other earnings were better, much better. We're just getting started here. By next week, we're going to have a lot of numbers out next week, and that'll give us a better idea on the earnings. But, any change can work to your benefit as well as your disadvantage. We've told you and told you and told you growth stocks are going to get punished, and they are getting punished, and they still will be. I don't know how many times I said in December, time to rebalance your portfolio and maybe cut back on your growth stocks. That's what it's all about. And Justin's been harping on the same thing. So just the way it is. Of course, you're going to want answers on specific questions and specific situations, and we're here to do that. I will be happy to do that. So, all this is to help build your financial future. That's what this show is all about, answering your questions to help you build your financial future. So, and our mission statement never changes: independent thinking and shared success. And, of course, we state this to tell and at the same time assure you that we are going to give you facts. We're going to give you analysis of the things that you ask about in a short period of time. Mind you, this is just a quick analysis. It's not something you can take our work and then just dig into more, because we can't get into anything really deeply. We just can't. About individual stock. We just can't. We can give you what our thoughts are and give you the facts that we have in front of us, but you can't get too deep into the individual companies. Now, when we talk about our educational segments or our stock commentary or even our market reporting, this stuff is something we can, share with you, and, it will be factual and without any bias. Okay. I'm Steve Peasley, and I really do encourage you to call me right now. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. So I'm live right now. If you can't, that's okay. You can call anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave a voicemail, and we will get to your question. I promise. The number never changes. It's always the same, 888-99-CHART. So let's go right to our first listener.
Steven, Justin, I wanted to get your thoughts on Bank of Montreal. Symbol is MO. I like the sector. I like the dividend yield. Seems to be in the middle of its PE range for the last 5 years. It's also had a run up, so wanted to get your thoughts on the company and see if you thought it was overpriced where it's at now. Thank you.
Yeah, Bank of Montreal, BMO, Canadian-based global bank operating through 1,500 branches in Canada and the United States. They're going to make $11.25 next year, $10.18 this year, $13 last year. And let's see, 11, and it's $114 stock. So it's right around, 11.5 or so. And that is, the five-year range is 5 to 11. So it's at the high end of its range. Return equity is very good, 15%. Cash flow is very strong at $15.66. Management owns 11%. It's a $73 billion company, and that's a lot of ownership by management. And mutual funds have been slowly buying over the last year. But I think it pays a 3.6% dividend. But I think you're late. This has already had a great run. I would not be a buyer of this at this price. It's too expensive. Now, if you're listening to me, I'm saying 11 PE is too expensive. Well, this one, this stock, 11 PE is high for this company. Never, that's the highest it's ever been in the last 5 years. So that's high. Okay. My focus point today, based on a story behind the headlines, investment in space companies hit a record $14.5 billion in 2021. So you may have contemplated jumping into that space or that area of the market, but may want to take a look at that a little deeper. Okay. I also want to talk about leading economic indicator report that came out today. LEI, leading economic indicator. We'll talk about that. I want to talk about the correction that we are in. NASDAQ has gone down. The NASDAQ composite has gone down about 12.5% since its high on November 19th. About 10% this month. So, are we done with our correction? I don't think so. Really don't. But we'll talk about that. And what is Bitcoin really worth? What's it worth? It's gone from 70,000 down to 40,000 per coin, in this month. What's it worth? That's the hard part, very difficult part. Those things, we'll talk about it. The market was down today again. The Dow down 450 points. NASDAQ down 385 points. And the S&P down 85. So the market was led by the NASDAQ downward again today. So it's a tough, tough market right now. And it will stop. Trust me on this. It hasn't even been that bad. Okay. It's been bad on NASDAQ, 12%, but the rest of the market, it's down, but not nearly as much. So no trivia question today because it's Friday and usually give you some statistics and talk about the premium newsletter, the KPP premium newsletter a little bit today. So I'll be giving you that kind of stuff. We are heading into a break, but I'm here taking your calls live, 888-99-CHART.
Your objective is to work hard, plan well, and achieve financial freedom, right? You're in luck because Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your finance and investment questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
Hello, this is Luke from New York. I'm calling about a company called Aadi Bioscience Inc., stock symbol AADI. I saw a few analysts giving it a buy signal, and some, including Morningstar, have it valued at between $50 and $60. Currently, it trades at $23. It is not making money and hasn't made money for a while and looks like a story stock. Wanted to check if you see anything else that I may be missing on why this company price would be going up. I also read an article that last year pharmaceutical sector was brutal and that the past 5 years, the year after pharma sector was negative, the following year was up. up to 40% for a year. Do you see this trend happening in 2022? Thank you, and I will be listening for your answer.
Well, I do think pharmaceuticals and biotech companies will do better this year than growth companies. I think they'll do a lot better than growth companies, but only those who make money and those who, you know, have a good, solid balance sheet. This company, this Aadi Bioscience, there's absolutely no reason for anybody to own this company. Develops precision therapies for genetically defined cancers with motor pathway driver alternations. I don't know what that is. Doesn't really matter if I know or don't know what it means. It has never made money since existence. Going all the way back, I can go as far back as 2014. It's lost money every year. Every year they lose money. It doesn't even have any sales. Why would I buy the company? It's a story stock. Why would anybody buy this company? There's absolutely no reason for this company to be owned by anybody, personally. They probably have a good story, but it's just a story. For investment, nah. I wouldn't put monopoly money in it. Let's put it that way. How many years do you gotta wait for a company to make profits? How many years before you give up? My focus point today is based on the story behind the headlines. Investment in space companies hit a $14.5 billion mark. That was like 50% more than the year before. Space. So is that something that you should be invested in? I don't have a problem with looking at companies in this area. I'm trying to avoid the word space because we're talking about space. There is a company that tracks this money going into this area. There's like 1,694 companies, okay, that have raised $252 billion to explore the money opportunities to make money in space. We're not talking about just in space, but the support mechanisms, the making the things that you need to send up rockets or logistics. All those are space-related kind of industries that seems to be getting stronger and stronger as far as attracting investments. Okay. Should you look into it? I think it's something that you do look into. I think you look into it with, your eyes open, though, because it is kind of speculative, but there's more and more money being poured into it. And there's a lot of satellites that need to be shot up in the space. And they're using more and more private spacecraft. And I think that's just a trend that's going to continue. So I really don't have a problem with you to start exploring that area. But again, remember, we try to invest in companies that make money. Okay, so be too many companies that don't make money go out of business. I mean, a huge percentage of them go out of business, no matter how good the story is. So this is why, as an investor, you stay away from them. Does that mean, and I'll say it again, I've said this many times, that doesn't mean you never invest in those kind of companies that don't make money. There's places and opportunities to try to put a little money, but not a lot of money. Just a little bit of your portfolio, a small fraction of your portfolio, in fact. So when people take time to leave an InvestBot podcast review on iTunes, we like to thank them for their courtesy by getting to their question quickly. So here's one that came in earlier from, DMNO. There's no name. No, I can't. There's no pronunciation of the letters that he has. That's his name. He wants to talk about Chewy. CHWY is the symbol. And Chewy provides pet products through Chewy, Chewy.com, retail website, and its mobile applications. It's a almost $16 billion company. I'll get to that more after this break. I'm up against a break here. So hold on there, and I'll get you some more information on Chewy. You're listening to Invest Talk. The number is 888-99-CHART.
Got a portfolio to grow and protect, so get your finance and investment questions together and call Steve Peasley and Justin Klein. They're ready with their unbiased answers. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Chewy, we were talking about Chewy. Had a question on it. Wanted to know he wants to know if he should buy it, sell it, do what with it. He already owns it. So I want to know if he should hold on to it or sell it, because it's been going steadily downward, and it still is. One of the problems are typical growth stock. This company is going to make 3 cents next year. First time it ever made money. Sales were really good. 24-27% growth in sales. But when you're in a situation where the Fed is starting to tighten money supply, growth stocks don't do well. They get hurt. This is a growth stock. I don't think it's going to turn around either. Not yet. I do like what it does, but I don't think it's going to turn around. Yeah. Valuations are ridiculous. 3 cents, it's a $38 stock. It made 3 cents a share. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense. Okay, let's keep moving and swing back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank for a question that came in earlier, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve or Justin. This is Dennis from the East Coast of Iowa. I've been a listener for about 7 years now. I have a question about F as in Frank, S as in Sam, K as in King. That's FS, KKR Capital Corp in the financial space. And my question is this. This stock seems to have a very high yield, a very reasonable and low payout ratio. Seems to be in good financial health, but its PE ratio is cheap at only 2.2. So what justifies this low, cheap PE ratio? What am I missing? Thanks. I'll look forward to your answer on the podcast.
Well, I'm not sure how you're getting that 2.2 PE ratio. It's going to make $2. It made $2.30 last year, 2020. 2021, the estimate's going to be 2.61 and then 2.52. Next year. It's a $21 stock. Okay, that's not a 2 PE. That's like a, you know, 9 PE. Okay? And the 5-year range is 3 to 11. So it's for this stock, the PE range is not out of line, but it's not 2. So I'm not sure where you're getting that. This is FSKKR Capital Corporation, business development company investing in debt securities of private middle market U.S. companies. It's a $6 billion company, pays 11.5% dividend, and let's see, if they're making $2.50 next year, and it's a $21 stock, they would have to pay 10%, it would be $2.14. So 11.5%, I don't think they can maintain that 11.5%. Not at a $21 stock, because that would be paying almost every cent they earn in dividend, and that's too high of a payout ratio. So I have a feeling they're going to be cutting that dividend. Sales growth in the September quarter of last year, we haven't got the last quarter of last year yet, was 145%. That was fantastic. Their best growth ever. I don't know why, but it's the best growth ever. Before that was 37%. The year before that, March of 21, it was shrunk 16%. And it's probably as a result of COVID, right? I mean, so it's having a pretty good sales increase. And, you know, well, we'd have to take a look at that. And, of course, with interest rates rising, you want to know how that would affect this kind of company as the Fed raises rates. So far, it hasn't done too bad, though. Not bad. Okay, let's go to Bill in Northern California. Hi, Bill.
Oh, hi, Steve. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. Recently, I received an inheritance, or most of it anyway, and I had funds transferred into my Vanguard account that my father held, mm-hmm. and you know, I had been tracking them for last year because I knew they existed, but I just didn't have control over them.
Right.
And, well, one of them is, it was like a 60% bond fund within Vanguard. So I sold off most of that. I just kept a remnant of it. So I have a large amount of cash, and I was, it's over $500,000, and I was just going to invest it, you know, slowly over time. I'd like to, I put some in mutual funds recently, and on the dip here, and I was just wondering what your strategy would be to deal with that, you know, considering the current downtrend. Would you start buying things gradually right away? And
yeah, I would dollar. I would dollar cost average at this stage of what the economic cycle and the stock market cycle we're in. We're going to see more weakness, but you know no one knows how weak is. I mean, how far down will it go? It could stop tomorrow. I don't think it's going to. But what you do once we have had a 10% correction or more? Now we haven't had that much in the S&P and the Dow yet. But a 10% correction is a normal correction, and I think we're in a corrective mode, so it'd be one to buy. So you start buying when that happens, and you just dollar cost average in as it goes down. I know it sounds painful and you don't like it because no one can pick the bottom, but you just dollar cost average in as it goes down. Don't be in a big hurry. Don't be in a big rush. Okay? Okay, let's keep the... wait a minute. It's pretty busy Friday. Coming up soon, I will preview the KPP Premium Newsletter, and my phone line is open. 888-99-CHART, everybody.
At this point, I think almost everyone has heard how generative AI promises to bring us to the next industrial revolution. AI is already shaping society with an impact on daily life that echoes the transformative significance of electricity or the internet. As we take steps to embrace the potential of generative AI, we need to remain vigilant with regard to its exploitability. This is where HackerOne comes in. HackerOne's AI Red Team addresses the novel challenges of AI safety and security for businesses that are launching new AI deployments. The HackerOne approach involves targeted offensive testing by harnessing the collective skills of ethical hackers who are proficient in AI and prompt hacking. In short, AI red teaming is the practice of stress testing AI models and deployments to make sure they can't be tricked into providing information beyond their intended use, and that security flaws can't be exploited to access confidential data or systems. HackerOne seamlessly integrates with your existing tools to enhance communication and collaboration across development, security, and IT teams. So, stay ahead of the game in the battle against cyber threats with HackerOne's Attack Resistance Platform. Learn more at HackerOne.com. That's HackerOne.com, HackerOne.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Invest Talk. The markets have certainly been interesting, but the threat of damaging volatility is ever present. So now, more than ever, you need unbiased investing guidance. Steve is here now taking your questions live. Call 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. It is Friday. I generally make time to have a quick rundown of the key benchmarks, so let me go over those. The two-year treasury yield was up to 1.014%, a little over 1%. And give you a little perspective, but last week it was 0.86. 4 weeks ago it was 0.64, so now it's 1. That's a huge move in 4 weeks. Remember, I told you interest rates are rising because the Fed is tightening. Okay, so all interest rates rise. The 10-year Treasury yield, 1.762. Last week it was 1.765. Think about this. That short interest rate yield, the 2-year Treasury is moving up. And this week, the 10-year moved down. When there's an inversion, when the 2-year yields more than the 10-year, we will have a recession. Now, I'm just telling you, it's squeezing now. There's no inversion yet. Gold was at $1,833 per ounce. Last week it was $1,815. 2 weeks ago it was $1,796. So it's been moving up. Silver today, $24.32 an ounce. Last week was $22.87. So silver moved up on a percentage basis much faster than gold. Oil, selling for $84.87 a barrel. Last week was $83. 2 weeks ago it was $78. 7 weeks ago it was $66. So from 2 months, it went from $66 to $84, or almost $85. The national average for a gallon of gas, $3.32. That's up a couple pennies. In California, the average is $4.64. That's up. Well, that was actually down a penny. Ooh. Gasoline is probably going to go $6 a gallon here in California. I don't doubt that that will happen. For comparison, in Arkansas, the gasoline pump at the pump's at $2.97. Man. That's where you need to get gas. Go to Arkansas, right? Okay, let's go to Edgar in San Diego. Hi, Edgar.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
I'm good. And thank you for the call. I appreciate that.
Oh, sure. I have two questions. First, what is the next support for NASDAQ? And then my top question is about British Petroleum, BP. Hmm.
Okay. The NASDAQ, I don't think we're done with our correction in the NASDAQ. I don't. I think it's going to go down 15-18% easy. That's what I think. I think that's where it's gone before it starts turning around. The Dow and the S&P, I think they'll at least get the 10% correction. I think so, and they're not there yet. And it might be a little higher than that. You know, the Fed... this is all in the hands of the Fed. If they keep talking about increasing rates and, you know, cutting down their easing, they're buying the bonds, they keep pressing that pedal, okay, the market's not going to like it more, you know, because they went from, you know, we thought they raised a couple times this year, that went to 3 times, and now I've heard one of the Fed say we probably raise it 4 times this year. The market doesn't like that at all. So I think that they know that they're impacting the market, and the market could be a precursor to the whole economy. So it's going to be I think at some point the Fed's going to ease off a bit on their talk about what they're going to do. And I think that will help the market. Now, as far as British Petroleum, the problem with all the European oil companies, they've all said they're getting out of drilling for more oil. They all said it. They're not going to drill for more oil. They're going to go green. They're going to move over to green. Well, as an investor, that makes you kind of concerned. What do you mean? You know, going green means you're not. How are you going to make money doing that? Okay, I understand the big push, you know, in Europe and even here in the United States, it is to go green. But yeah, the companies that live and make their earnings on oil drilling and, you know, oil supply, you've said you're going to be all green here in the next few years, however many years. Who's going to invest in your company? I would stay away from those companies. You know who hasn't? What companies hasn't said that they're going to stop drilling? In the United States, Chevron and Exxon both say they're still going to continue drilling, and they're still, their main business is oil, and they know it. Even though they will be moving to green, they're still, so I would stay away from all European oil companies, personally. Let's go to Dan in Walnut Creek. How you doing, Dan?
Oh, fine, thanks, Steve. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Thank you for the call.
Good. Yeah, I have a question on Fidelity Consumer Discretionary, FDIS. Mm-hmm. Top holdings are Amazon, Tesla, and Home Depot.
Yeah.
And it's been on a downtrend for the last couple of months. I was wondering what your thoughts are on this one.
Well, consumer discretionary, the consumer's doing pretty well. They have jobs. There's a lot, plenty of jobs out there. Salaries are going up. I can't. Yeah, I don't know why I should be too worried about discretionary spending, but you're right, it is going down, and it might be because of the type of companies they hold. If they have a lot of tech companies, they're going to get hit. So I would, you know, you said the top holdings was Amazon and what was the others? Home Depot.
Amazon, Tesla, Home Depot, McDonald's, and Nike.
Yeah, see, I think Tesla's overvalued, and Amazon is probably overvalued, but the others are not. You know.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So
Tesla and Amazon are they're heavy on that. Between those two, there's like 35% of the holdings.
Oh, well, then that's why. Okay, that's what's hurting you on that, because that's way more than they should have of those two on this kind of, they should, you know, there should never be more than, you know, 5%, 7% any one stock. If you have if it's a consumer discretionary fund, that means, you know, you have a lot of consumer stocks, and, you know, not, you shouldn't be loaded up on that and just one or two or three stocks. That's why. So I probably would look for a different one if you wanted to be in this space. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate the call. The KPP Premier's Letter was finished today and will be distributed tomorrow to all subscribers. In the market conditions sections, I explained we continue to witness large fluctuations in markets. So far, most swings this month have been to the downside. Growth stocks are the most heavily impacted. This is normal whenever the Fed changes their policy from a loose money supply to a tightening stance. Even though the Fed has not moved to tightening money supply by any significant degree, its posture has changed and is now in a different direction. So this worries investors. In high growth areas of the market, borrowing costs have the greatest impact on these high growth companies. Their need to borrow to sustain their increases. This does not mean investors should avoid all growth stocks, but they would be wise to be cognizant of the changes and effects, and the adjustment will have to be made in the various sectors of the market. So you got to change your portfolio. You got to at least know what is it and know what you have in it, why it's being impacted. This week, precious metals moved up sharply following the same move made the week before. It looks like a reaction to a weaker dollar this month. So, and I said, stay with the market, but it would not hurt to have some cash ready to invest. A move into value stocks should have served you well, because we told you to do that in the newsletter. And we still like the commodity positions, though they have already risen pretty steeply, and you may want to wait for a better opportunity. You've been reading the newsletter, you know, for 2-3 months, we were talking about rebalance. You heard on this radio, too. Rebalance, produce some cash, get ready. So, you know, we can only advise you on that stuff. So that's all we can do. We can just tell you. In the portfolio management section, I talked about alphas and betas. Do you know what alphas and betas are? They are different metrics. They're commonly used. They gauge the volatility and relationships. Okay, alpha, for instance, is a number assigned to the return over an overall index. It is quoted simply to. It's easy to understand, really. For example, if your portfolio returns 12%, and your comparable index returns 10%, your alpha would be 2, the difference between the two. Any number greater than 0 would indicate outperformance of the index you're tracking, of the alpha index you're tracking, okay? Whether it's an S&P 500 or whatever. Hedge fund managers love to talk about positive alphas. They really do. Oh, we're doing so much better than the market, so much better than our index tracking or market, or whatever they want to say. But they also, a lot of times, don't tell you the whole truth. Okay? Because they may be tracking an index that doesn't represent the companies that they're buying. So, yeah, if you got, you got to be realistic. Everybody, just know that you need. There's ways that people can tell you the absolute truth, but it's not the whole truth. Okay, just know that. Now, a beta is different. Usually, a beta is the volatility of your stock compared to an index, usually the S&P 500. So if you have a beta of 1.2, that means it's 20% more volatile than the S&P 500. Because generally, S&P 500 is the index everybody tracks. But they, you can also cheat. You can have a bigger or smaller beta, and you change the index that you're tracking, and it may be a very high volatile or very low volatile index. You got to know what they're trading. Usually the beta is compared to the S&P 500 almost all the time that I see it quoted out there. But, okay, that's beta. I had a couple of stock ideas. I had a REIT, a real estate investment trust, as one of the picks. They own many, many single-family homes, and they rent them out. So it's interesting, though, that the dividend yield is only 1.1%, a little over 1%. So it's not, it's more more of a play on real estate values. And a leading confectionery company is the other one we put out there. It's in the consumer defense sector. Marketing, you know, it's one of the largest candy makers in the United States or in the world for that matter. So those were the two names. Both of them were value plays, by the way. And of course, on the newsletter, I give you names, right? There's a good deal of valuable information in the KPPP newsletter. It always is, I think. I think it's well worth your effort to get it, read it. You want a sample? You can ask us for a sample. We'll send it to you. There's one sample on our website. We always have a sample on our website. It's there. So you can subscribe. It's not, you know, every month. It comes into your inbox. I do this. You subscribe, but I send it out every week. Every week. So go to investtalk.com to subscribe. Okay? And you don't have to. You can get it once a month. You get it a month, and you can cancel your reservation. You can cancel. You don't have to. If you don't like it, it's fine. No problem with that. Will, San Diego. How you doing, Will?
Oh, pretty good, Steve. I sold my Ethereum today, and I'm wondering if that was a good move or not.
Ethereum, huh?
Right.
Well, the problem we have, and it's one of my talking points, is on Bitcoin, how do you evaluate certain things? Is Ethereum, is that one of the cryptocurrencies?
I guess so. You know, I don't understand the whole thing, but I think it's in that area, in that field.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's an open-ended grantor trust based in the U.S. invest in Ethereum. Yeah. So that's a Bitcoin. This has moved from $12 up to $45 and now back to $20.75. It's been around since December of 2020. So it's the biggest problem we have, and Bitcoin's the same, is how do you know what value it is? There's no way to, we don't have a long history, right, of any of this. I mean, Bitcoin's the oldest one around, and that's not very old. But Bitcoin went from 70 to 40 like this one. It moved up and down. They're very volatile. I think you're wise to get out if you want to know the truth, because we just don't know. I can't tell you if it's what it's worth. And it's only worth, you know, what people are willing to, you can, to me, it's like a pyramid scheme. You just got to convince, you got to convince somebody to pay more for it than you did. That's all. You got to convince them. Now, I'm not saying that cryptocurrency is all of it's a pyramid scheme. I'm not saying that, but it's like that in that we have no way to value it. And the only value is if you can talk somebody else into pay more for it. You can't base it on earnings. You can't base it on sales. You can't. It's not. It's a coin. It's a currency. Now you can't base it on what backs it. Nothing. Not labor. Not the economy. So I don't know. How do you evaluate it? This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. We have one goal here: to help you achieve financial freedom. And our work will continue. So get your questions in. 888-99-CHART.
The markets react to uncertainty. Are you prepared? Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Your financial future depends on the answers to those questions. Steve Peasley is here now, and he's ready to talk with you. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, I was calling about ETF, VTV. It's a value ETF. I hear you guys talking about switching to value. Just wanted to know if that would be a good play. Thank you.
I think so. You know, it could be part of a balanced portfolio. It's an ETF. This is VTV, Victor T. Victor, Vanguard Value ETF. It seeks to track the performance of the CRSP U.S. Large Cap Value Index, which measured investment returns. So what's a CRS, Large Cap Value Index? Well, CRSP, I mean, what is CRSP? So, well, that stands for Center for Research and Security Prices. And they are a leader providing research quality historical market data and returns. So they produce this index, and the index kind of tracks book value, forward earnings to price ratio, historical earnings to price, dividend to price ratio, that kind of thing. So they're a value-oriented fund, ETF. So if I they've done pretty well, even in this most recent, for January they are down. Most of them are, but not nearly as much as the NASDAQ is, but it's down. So don't think that value will go up if the whole market's going down. They won't, but they won't crash like growth stocks do in a down market. Mind you, growth stocks also skyrocket when they do return. So don't think that I'm bad-mouthing growth stocks. Just for the time being, they're not a place to be. Okay? Leading economic indicators say that the economy is going to do pretty well going forward. Okay? It came in at 0.8. They expected it to be 0.8%. The month before is 1.1. This is for December, by the way. So in November is 1.1%. Now it's 0.8%. So that's still indicating growth in the next of our economy in the next 3 or 4 months. Now, what was confusing was other reports that came out this week. A couple that I don't really look at too often, but I do look at them, is the Empire State Manufacturing Index. Did you see that? Strengthened negative 0.7 is the number. It was 31, positive 31, almost 32 last month. They expected it to go down to positive 25, and it went down to negative 0.7. That's the Empire, New York area, Empire State. However, the Philadelphia Fed Manufacturing Index, okay, it went up. Last month, it was 15.2. They expected it to go up, 18.5, but it went up to 23.2. Okay. So what is it? Yeah. So obviously, it's a confusing picture there. But the leading economic indicator index, LEI, is made up of 10 components of leading economic indicators, 10 of them. One of them is the stock market, right? And of course, when you get for January, it's going to show that one of the 10 is going to be down, but December was up. So, but it's only one of 10. So there's 9 other leading economic indicators. Oh, and they're like work week, salaries, paid, different things that make up that indicator. I have it in my book. And I wrote them all in the book, leading and lagging economic indicators. You only want to pay attention to the leading economic indicators, not the lagging indicators. Okay, so we know now the NASDAQ composite is down about 12.5% from its high. That high was November 19th. For the month, it's down about 10%. And I just wanted to say there has been 66 corrections since 1971, a correction of 10% or less, 66. 24 or 37% of those resulted in a bear market. So the rest did not. Just a correction, the vast majority. So 3 months later, after falling 10%, the market's usually up. Just so you know. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about the free podcast. You can download it for free. We will cross over 38 million downloads here tonight, so we want to thank you for that. Appreciate it. Get yours anytime, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. Please be sure to review and rate us on iTunes. It really does. We do want to see those ratings. It helps guide us to what we should be doing. Independent thinking and shared success. This is InvestTalk. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.